Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples. So this is our Lord talking to his folks. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's a great invitation to followers, isn't it? That really fits here in the 21st century. We're attuned to that kind of a message. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And what shall it profit? And what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'll bring a message tonight on profit and loss. Profit and loss. The world, and I'm afraid way too many Christians, are operating on a misunderstanding or a misconception about gain or profit. Profit is not necessarily just gain. Profit is what you keep out of your gain. Profit is what's left over after you pay all the bills and all the taxes and paid all the help and paid for all your materials and paid everybody's salary. If there's anything left over, that's profit. Anything less than that is just the cost of doing business. Now, I worked for a fellow when I first came to Rock Hill. I didn't work for him long. I found out what kind of a fellow he was, and I voluntarily disassociated myself from his enterprise. He was a crook. He was selling a lot of equipment, and he really was. And I was in his office one day. We were working on something, and he was going like this. He said, "We're going to be rich. We're going to be rich." He said, "We're selling this much equipment, and we sold that much, and we had this much money come in this month." He said, "We're going to be rich." I said, "Mike, this much came in. How much stayed? They don't count just because it comes through the door. It's how much is left after." Well, there was nothing left. Matter of fact, we were in the hole. He was spending more than we were taking in. It's not just about gain. There must be some gain to have profit. But if gain is all you have, and it comes out even or a net loss, then there is no profit. The idea is to make money. And the idea in life is to, in the end, have profited from life. Not to be one of life's losers. I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes. Matthew 16, 26, the idea there is, it is better to serve God than to gain the whole world. Why is that? Because without God, there is no profit in gaining the whole world. Now, if you would take your Bible, turn over to Luke chapter 12 for a minute. And we'll read a couple of verses there. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." This guy has gained great worldly possessions. But there's more to it than that, see. Verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barn and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This guy thought that gain was godliness. He thought that gain, the acquisition of stuff, was the ultimate goal. It's not the ultimate goal. It may be a worthy enterprise, and we all endeavor to acquire. We all want to better our circumstance. But if we make that the end at which we strive, we come up with no profit. If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, you haven't profited a thing. Now, here's what some people consider gain. Money. For the sake of money. They're obsessed with having money. I have known some wealthy people over the years who did not live in nice houses, who did not drive nice cars, who did not take nice vacations. They just sit on it. Their goal in life was to get money. And they weren't going to turn loose of a dime. Stingy, tight-wadded. A couple years ago, I ran into a realtor that I know that we used to rent a building from. And we were both in Burger King. And he was in front of me. And this guy is a wealthy man. He has done very, very well in the real estate market. He's in the line at Burger King ordering him a meal, and when he gets up, he looks around like this, and he reaches in his pocket and he gets his coupon. And he had a dollar off coupon, and he gives the coupon, and I guess it made him nervous because he kept like this. But I was behind him; he didn't see me. When he got his thing. And, of course, she took off the dollar, you know, and he turned around. I was standing there, and I said, hey, how you doing? I called him by name. And he was just nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. I don't know why I use coupons if my wife gives them to me. But a buck is a buck, man. Amen. But that guy's tight. His whole world is about getting money. Then there are people who want possessions. America's addicted to stuff. Why do you think that there are everywhere? You can go to a little nowhere hick town. My wife and I get out on Thursdays and take little day trip things, you know. That's what we do. And we go through these little hick towns, and a little hick town will have two or three and sometimes four. You store it, you lock it, you keep key place. For the people in them little hick towns to store their junk that they ain't got room for in their house, their garage, or their attic. Because they're full. Now, I'm a firm believer. If you haven't seen it or used it in 6 weeks, you don't need it. Amen? Now, I don't practice what I preach, but that's my position. It sounds good. I'm like a politician. That's my position. I just don't go by it. American, we got stuff running out of our ears. I remember back when I was working, and I'd go to people's houses to do an estimate or do a job or whatever, and I'd look around, and honest before God, they got one of everything. They got it stacked up, and half the time it's broken, and some parts come off of it or something. And you go to a house, and they got two or three motorcycles and a camper and three cars and two of them jet skis and trampoline in the backyard and a swimming pool in the backyard. I mean, just, they don't use any of it. Half of it's broke anyway, because nobody takes care of nothing anymore. My mom and daddy used to say, half of having something's taking care of it. I believe that. But every new thing that comes out, they got to have it. Listen, if Apple decided tomorrow they was coming out with a new iPhone or pad or whatever they call them thing, tomorrow, and it had some new gizmo, it may be totally superfluous, it may be absolutely unnecessary, but there'd be 4 million people standing in line at 3 a.m. to be the first one to get in to buy it. And they just discard the one that came out a year ago that they haven't learned how to work yet. Amen. They get this new one that they really don't know how to work. Say, why? Because it's there and they want it. They say, he who dies with the most toys wins. That's the American philosophy. We're hung up on either having money for money's sake or possessions for possession's sake. Then there are folks who think that gain is fame and notoriety. Have you ever noticed that there's a certain percentage of the population that I think would absolutely sell their soul to the devil for 10 minutes of public fame on the TV set? I see people on there all the time. If I had done what they've done or been accused of what they've been accused of, you could not pay me enough money to get me on there and let the world look at me. I would be way too embarrassed, way too ashamed. I've always been one of those, you keep your dirty laundry at home, you know. I remember several years ago, they had a Jenny Jones or one of them kind of things. Not been her, but something like that, one of them kind of programs. And the feature of the day, the contestants on there were women who had slept with their daughter's husbands. And they were sitting on a stage in front of America, proud as punch, talking about it, to get a handful of money and a little bit of fame. I'd rather die and go to the devil. Amen. I mean, that's sick. That's twisted. Then there are folks who think that gain is based in relationships, to love, be loved, to be needed. At least there is some basis for that. But they will sell their soul, compromise their convictions in order to be accepted, to be well thought of, to be loved or befriended. Friendship and love is never worth compromising your core beliefs for. I heard a preacher up in Charlotte, North Carolina a couple of years ago say that he would rather be loved than to be right. I said, well, son, you just put me and you at polar opposites. You're going to have to love me being right. If I have a choice, I'll take being right. Amen? Now, the world at large, 99% of people you run into would fall into one of those four or five categories that they would consider, if they had those things, their life would have been a net gain. They would have accomplished what they set out to. They would have achieved what they wanted. And they say, have you gained anything in your life? And they would all answer in the affirmative. But it's not what you get in this life that counts. It's what you keep. Profit is what's left after the bills are paid. Profit is what you keep after the game is over. In Luke chapter 12, this man starts with little, works hard, diligent, wise, blessed, successful. As far as you can tell from that story, he's got it all. He plants and sows and waters and weeds, and he reaps tremendous increase. Now, so far there's nothing wrong with that story. That should basically be the objective of all of us. We all want to work and labor and gain from the labor. If you don't expect to gain anything from it, why do it? I don't want to engage in activity where I'm going to be a loser or break even. I want to come out ahead. I want to gain from it. This fella had tremendous increase. And he looked at it and he said, man, look at all what I have got, my soul. Now what am I going to do with it? I got more here than I can possibly use. I have an excess. There's no mention of charity. There's no mention of sharing. He's not even going to sell it. This guy is determined to keep it all for himself. I'll build me bigger barns, and I'll store it up for me, and I'll have laid by for years to come, and I won't have to work anymore. It's all about me, and I can just eat, drink, and be merry. Now, on a different occasion, we could make some other applications here about this man's selfishness and the condition of his heart. And you can make the point that he is entitled to what he worked for and what God gave him and blessed him with. But with that, there comes a responsibility to help others and those who are less fortunate. And that used to be the way charity worked around the world until charity became a government enterprise where the government takes from you and doles it out as they see fit. Now, I'm going to give you two observations about profit and loss and gain. The first is temporal. Has to do with this life, the here and the now. People are always talking about, well, you know, you Christians are always talking about pie in the sky, buy in the buy kind of thing. Well, this is pretty practical. What profit is there to a life of dissipation if it robs you of your health and your old age? Now, you and I live in a generation, and we're at the latter end of this thing, but this new generation coming on has a mindset that is fundamentally different than the mindset of the men and women in here 50 and 60 years old. When I was growing up as a boy, nobody questioned, nobody thought about it. It was just a given. If you were a boy, you're going to grow up, get a job, make money, take a wife, have some young'uns, pay your bills, and vote. I mean, that's just what men did. We went to work, and we supported a wife and children. 50, 60 years ago, a girl came into the world. She knew without thinking about it. She was going to grow up, marry some fella, tall, dark, and handsome. He was going to take good care of her. She'd be a good wife, bear him children, take care of his house, and they would live happily ever after in a little white house with a little picket fence. That wasn't such a bad deal. That wasn't so bad. I don't have any objections to Ozzie and Harriet or Beaver Cleaver or any of them other guys back there. That's a pretty nice day, all things considered. But the generation coming on, they don't think like we think. I have the hardest time trying to communicate with people under 30 years old. They have a different mindset. All they want to do is party. They just want to have fun. They want to go from one good time to the next. They're not interested primarily in work. They're not interested primarily in making money. They're not interested in family. They just want to have fun. They want to go everywhere. They want to do everything. If there's something out there they haven't done that looks exciting or fun or pleasurable, they want to shoot at it. They want a shot. The very idea of putting your nose to the grindstone and working and paying bills and raising kids. Away with it. You try to talk to these young folks, man, you can't reason with them because they're not going to see it like you see it. You think, well, they're just dumber than a red brick. No, they've been trained that way. It's a mindset. They've been indoctrinated. Between public education and media, their minds are corrupt. They're destitute of reality. But I would ask those people, they want to party, they want to smoke dope, they want to have sex, they want to just have fun. And man, they'll go to any extreme to do something that's never been done or that they've never done. I was watching a thing on the internet here a while back. These guys are called base jumpers. You ever seen them? They're sneaking around up on the side of mountains and they find these big radio towers and stuff and they climb them. Some of them are 1,400 feet and they're sitting on the side of a mountain 6,000 feet high. It's 8,000 feet to the ground. And these morons are climbing these towers. And they get up on top of it and they jump off. And they do cartwheels and aerobatics and all kind of stuff. And then at the last minute they pull their ripcord and pop their little jump parachute. So why are you doing that? Well, because it's fun. It's fun. Extreme sports. There's no telling how far people will go anymore just to have a good time or to get a thrill. I'll tell you what, son, I can find my thrills a lot closer to the ground than that. Somebody say amen right there now. I've been on top of a boom on a crane that was stretched out 125 feet. And that big old crane, it looks like it's sitting there still, but that thing's doing like this. When the wind blows, I tell you what, son, you can get seasick up on one of them things. They want to party. They want to have fun. They want to experience. They want to do. But what profit is there in that if it costs you your health and your old age? Now, old Bob Jones Sr. used to say, every expenditure in youth is a draft on old age. You start smoking when you're 13 or 14 and smoke till you're 55 or 60, your lungs are shot. And there ain't no fixing them. Amen? The damage done cannot be repaired. You start drinking when you're 14 or 15, and especially these binge drinkers, like we have today, and you start when you're a teeny bopper, and you continue to drinking like that for the next 15, 20, 25, 30 years, your liver and your cardiovascular system are toast. Oh, man, we partied. We had fun. We went here and we did that. And yeah, now you're going to have cirrhosis of the liver and lung cancer and God only knows what else. And the last 25 years of your life are going to be spent in agony and suffering. You ever see somebody with, what do you call that people that smokers get? Emphysema. You ever see anybody with real bad emphysema? When we first came down here and started the church, we went to visit a fellow over here in Clover that had emphysema. He was down to 81 pounds. They were feeding him watered down grits through a straw. He could not stand up. He could not chew. Because he didn't have the air. He didn't have the strength to eat or feed himself. Because he had spent 45 years sucking 2 packs of Pall Mall a day. Well, now he did what he wanted to. He had his fun. But he wasted his bodily strength. It consumed him. What profit was there in it? Did he have enough fun Was there enough pleasure? Was there enough gain in those few years of smoking cigarettes to offset the horror and the dissipation and the pain and the agony and the expense of the last 25 years? I don't think so. I don't think I could have enough pleasure in 25 years to offset the pain and agony of the last 25 years. Amen? I had an aunt who died, an alcoholic. She was a closet drunk. She drank vodka. She thought nobody knew. Everybody knew. She had little bottles hid all over the place. She couldn't go anywhere or do anything unless she could figure out some way to take her bottle with her. Her son-in-law was a drunk. I remember going to their house for a family get-together thing, and I kept noticing that this man would get up and leave about every 10 or 15 minutes. He would be gone 10 minutes, and he'd come back. Now, I'm not a detective, but I said, you know, there's something going on. So I found me a way to find out where he was going. And here's what that guy had done. He had gotten there an hour before anybody else. And along the fence of Aunt Francis's property, he had gone down through there and he had put him a couple of half-pint bottles of vodka. Hit him in the grass along the fence post. And every few minutes he would get out and he would go down there and he'd do just like this. And he'd keep his back to the house. And he'd hit him shot. And he'd put his bottle back down. And he drank this one and he threw it away. He'd drink that one and throw it. He's killing himself. This thing started out drinking for fun. I gotta unwind. I need to get loosened up. I need to get a little buzz on. Yeah, and then it took him. And then it ruined him. What profit is there in that kind of life if your dissipation in you destroys your old age and your health? There is no profit in it. But you'd have to reflect on reality in the future to be aware of that. What is the profit in money and possessions if you lose your wife and your kids in the process? There's been many a man said, well, I'm doing this for my family. I'm trying to provide for my family. I want to give them a few of the things that I never had. I'm trying to better us. He becomes a workaholic. Working way too many hours or working two jobs and this, that, and the other. And he never has any time to have a real relationship with his wife. And he never has time to have a real relationship with his children. But he's given them all the material things that they want. And they're glad to get them. I don't know anybody that don't like nice stuff. And boy, there's plenty of stuff out there these days for us to want. I guarantee nobody in here has got a list that's too short on things you want. I got a nice list myself. Now, my only problem is that in my old age, the price of my wants has gone up. Now, they say you can tell the age of the boy by the price of the toy. But when we make that our goal, when we make that our objective, if it destroys our relationship with our mate, if it destroys our relationship with our children, so that we end up divorced and alienated, and our kids hate us, and we have nobody that loves us, and nobody that wants to be with us, and nobody gives a flip whether you live or die, what profit was there in it? There was no profit. When I was growing up, my dad worked for Lithium Corporation in Bessemer City, North Carolina. At that time, it was a big plant and a big deal. And because they used lithium in all kinds of stuff. He was in the maintenance department. And they had to have a ton of major breakdowns. I don't know if it's poor engineering or if it's because of the process. I don't know. But they had lots of maintenance issues. I've seen my daddy go in and work 24 hours straight, come home, get 4 hours sleep, and go right back to work. And he didn't have to do that. He was volunteering to do that. He wanted the overtime because there were things he wanted for his family. But we go for weeks and just see him for a minute here and a minute there. And then when you finally did see him, he was so wore out that he was either groggy in a fog or he was so darn irritable the devil couldn't have got along with him. In any event, he was no fun to be around. And I remember years later, my dad and I were talking, and he bowed his head and he wept at the time he had wasted just making money and let his family go. There is no profit. I don't care how much you can make. I don't care how much you can accrue. If you lose that wife, if you lose that relationship, if you lose that marriage, if you lose those children, if you don't have that relationship, if there's not somebody that's going to weep when you pass out of this old world, if there's not somebody going to call you up on your birthday or whatever and tell you how much they love you or slip you a note every now and then and tell you what a blessing you've been, I'll tell you, you missed it, son. You missed it. I don't care how much you had. There's no profit. What fun, what profit is there in family and friends if it cost you your eternity? You say, well, bless God, I wouldn't give up my eternity for my friends. You'd be surprised at the people that do. They can't get right with God. They can't live for God because it would put them at odds with people they care about. And in the end, family meant more to them than God. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. There is no profit in acquiring and keeping friends and family if it costs you eternity. Then on the spiritual side, what profit is if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? If the devil came to you and did what he did to Jesus Christ and said, all this will I give unto thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. For it is given unto me to give to whomsoever I will. By the way, sometimes you ought to think about that thought and maybe even investigate it a little bit. Not always is the things you get in life from God. He's not the only one that can bless you with stuff. You know, think about that. Suppose your adversary, the devil, blesses you with stuff because the stuff is a hindrance to your service for God. But think about it. We always say, oh, the Lord blessed me and gave me this. The Lord blessed me and gave me that. But that keeps you out of church. That keeps you from being walking a good, clean, separated Christian life. That keeps you from being a soul winner and a witness. That keeps you from praying. I'm not so sure God would have been in that. He said, but it was a blessing. Blessing to who? Now, if you gain the whole world, if the devil gave you all of it, but when you're 65 or 70 or 75 or 80 or 90 or 100 years, that's forever to us. 100 years. Of course, you got to remember the last 20, you didn't do nothing but sit in a rocking chair. I don't know what's so great about living to be 100 if you can't move. You see most of them people up in their 90s? I can do them all day. And sometimes they change position. I won't live to be 100. Not if I got to be like that. If you live to be 100 and you had good health and you can enjoy everything there is,
And the pleasure in it, and the joy of it, and the excitement of it, never diminished. Would there be any profit if you lost your soul and spent eternity in hell? There is no profit.
Well, I got to hurry because we can't miss the debate. Most people, a lot of people operate under a misconception, thinking that gain is godliness, meaning that God is blessed. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6, supposing that gain is godliness. Now, what did Paul say gain was? Godliness with contentment is great gain. See, the world's got one view, and God has got an entirely different. We just don't see things like God sees it. God, and I think God blesses, and God gives us a lot of good stuff. The Lord is good to us beyond our wildest imagination. But that's not His primary concern, is how much junk you've got down here. His primary concern is your state and standing in heaven. That's what God's concerned about. God is not opposed to people having gain, to prosper. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 17 through 20, that God's not opposed. I mean, if you look in there, God's not opposed to people making money or gaining possessions. Now, we need to go about it right. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, he said, people say, I'm going to go into such a city and work and labor a year and get gain, whereas you ought to say, the Lord willing, we're going to do this and that and the other thing. God wasn't opposed to them getting gain. Just wanted to make sure we did it the right way for the right reason. We had the right heart about it. Everybody knows you need to have some kind of gain or you starve to death. The crux of the matter is the conclusion of the matter. When the game is over, when the day is done, what's left? How does it end? And if you can look down the road and look at your lifestyle and what your heart is set on, the things you desire, where your soul is centered, you need to look down the road and see where it ends. And what will be left of it at the judgment day. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, nothing is profitable unto you that you can't take with you. It's only what you keep. So when the time to die comes, what will you take with you to the other side that you can keep forever? That's profit. I can take all my good deeds, they last forever. I can take my generosity, that'll last forever. I can take my compassion, that will last forever. Amen. I can take the souls that I have won, they last forever. I can take my faithfulness, that will last forever. But I can't take any of my money, I can't take any of my toys. Wouldn't it be a sad thing, you know, if I can't take my toys with me. Oh, I'm not sure I want to go to heaven. Heaven will be a sad place if I can't take my Mustang. You're welcome to my Mustang. When I'm not here. I want, in my life, to have some things that will last after the game is over. I want some things that I can take with me to Glory Land. I want to honestly profit from this time here. when we close the books and tally up the page and look at expenditures, outlays, and incomes, and make all the deductions, I want a profit. I want it to say net profit. I don't want to waste my whole life. Sometimes maybe we ought to just think about it, you know. What's my objective here? Is it just to get by? Is it just to get stuff? Is it just to have fun? Or am I trying to accomplish something? Build something? Lay something up? Put a little treasure on the other side? Some things that I can keep forever and ever and ever. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you now for your goodness and your mercy. Pray, oh God, that you'd...